Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for the teaching of your word. I pray that, Lord, you will speak to us in a way we have never experienced before. That, Lord, do not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for blessing our time together in Jesus' name. And somebody said, put your hands together for the Lord and you may be seated. Amen. All right. We want to continue preaching about marriage. How many of us are excited about the topic of the subject marriage? Amen. Oh, you must be excited about the topic marriage, isn't it? Yes. And I've sharpened my knife today. So get ready. Fasten your seatbelt. You're going to be blessed before you leave here today. Amen. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 that marriage is honorable. I'm preaching from this book, Model Marriage. If you're married already, this book will help you. It's a great book by one of the great authors of our time, Doug Heward Mills. Nobody writes like him. All right, so if you're married already, you need a copy of this book. We are soon, and by the end of the month, we should be starting a new marriage school. Marriage school. When I say marriage school, it means it's not just two people. It's enough people. Because we are expecting enough people to get married in the church. I said we are expecting enough people to get married in the church. So if you're already married, please get a copy. It will help you. So many things the Bible teaches about marriage. Many people marry and they don't know about marriage. You can't marry and not know about marriage. If you ever get yourself into something and you don't know about it, you are sure to fail. I said you are sure to fail. I said you are sure to fail. But once you learn about it, once you educate yourself about it, then you shall not fail. You will not fail in your marriage. I said you will not fail in your marriage, I declare, in the name of Jesus. So we want to start off, we started talking about marriage. We had a short break. We spoke about the art of ministry. But I've come back. Somebody said the man has come back. All right. And so we're going to continue. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all. Which means that marriage is better than being a boyfriend and girlfriend. Jeremiah. Marriage is better. Is that Siobhan Smith? What? Marriage is better than having a boyfriend. Marriage is better than having a girlfriend. Marriage is better than having a child father, which you and he never done. Marriage is better than common law. What Jack Dio had, good marriage was better than that. Jack Dio and Vashini Singh, what they had. The Bible says that marriage is far honorable than that. You know, I am not the one saying, I'm just trying to explain to you what the Bible is saying. Timothy, that it is better to get married than to have common law, common on law, common legal, common court, common lawyer, whatever common it is. Kofi, I'm shouting. So if you have somebody and you love the person, then as a Christian, I'm talking to Christians, and Christians are more open to what the Bible says than non-Christians. Because the Bible is the final authority when it comes to our Christian lives. Are you with me? Oh, are you here this morning? Right, so the Bible is advising Christians to get married rather than have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Do you get it? And it's better to marry than just to have a child father or child mother. Amen. Which tells us that to be a wife is a higher level than to be a girlfriend. I didn't hear the lady say amen. Amen. It means that to be a husband is a higher level than being just a child father. So marriage is honorable. That's why I'm preaching about marriage in the church. And the Bible says, when I sow something, I will reap it. So I'm sowing seeds. I am sowing seeds in the church. And I'm going to reap as long as the earth remaineth, the Bible says. Seed time and harvest will not cease. So as I'm sowing, I'm expecting marriages at harvest time. Yesterday, by the grace of God, we had a very simple marriage in one of our buildings in Pearl on the East Bank. It was a very, very wonderful wedding. I see you getting married in the name of Jesus. All right, don't say that, oh, Pastor, how can I get married? I don't think I'm pretty. You are pretty. I don't think I'm nice. You are nice. I don't. Who will marry me? Somebody will marry you. Pastor, are you sure? Yes, I am sure. Pastor, I'm afraid. If my boyfriend says he will marry me, what am I going to do? Don't be afraid. The Bible says, fear not. There are 365 fear nots in the Bible. Did you know that? There's 365 fear nots in the Bible. Every fear not for a day of the year. Which means that every day of your life, in every year, God is saying, fear shouldn't be something you should entertain at all. So those of you who fear, will I get married? Can I have children? Man, let me have children before I marry. Just in case I marry. You are in bondage if you are afraid. Because the fear will make you do things that you are not supposed to do. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Right. So we looked at the beloved, isn't it? The beloved. Or what you probably want to call dating. Dating or courting. Some people say courting. It's not courting. It's courting. Tell somebody it's not courting. It's courting. There's no ning inside. It's courting. Yeah, it's like people call me reverend. It's not reverend. It's reverend. When you say reverend, immediately we know this, the school you went to. Your English weren't good at the time. Yeah, sometimes I text people, we are chatting on WhatsApp, and they say, yes, reverend. I said, I don't know this one. Because my own, it doesn't come with a T, it comes with a D. It's too onaporific, I tell you. Right, so we're saying that before marriage, you need to court, or you need to enter into a phase we call belovedosing. In our church, we have a term, we call it belovedosing. Right? You court, you date, you relate for a while. The Bible says, we are saying this not because the pastor is saying, but the Bible says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was engaged to be married to Joseph. Which means that there was a period of let's watch each other. And then, if it works, then we go serious. We go and see the pastor. And that's why the Bible says that when Joseph realized that Mary was pregnant, he said, I ain't able no more. Because that was a phase where, you know, you could either decide to go ahead or change your mind. So when you get there, those of you who have promise ring and you are happy, I don't know where your mind is at. When even engagement ring can be taken back. Even these days, wedding rings, they can take it back. How much more promise ring? That a human being is promising you and you are excited. You are shorty, you are excited about that. Ines, where's your engagement ring? You got no. Where's your promise ring? Is this promise ring? What? Is that promise ring? You got promise ring too? You got promise ring. Who got promise ring here? Let me preach with you today. If you have promise ring, stand up. Carla, you have promise ring? Hey, are you sure? What ring is that? is your own ring. The finger that is on is a very dangerous finger. Now, you have to, let me say this before I move on. You have to understand that this finger, the only time a ring must come on is when you are marrying. Don't joke with this. The reason why I'm saying this is that many people have ignorantly placed rings on this finger and they have spiritually gotten married to somebody that they didn't know about. Oh, my mother gave me this ring. It's me, grandmother gave me. Your grandmother, you could see demons when you see them. You think you are looking at your grandmother, but maybe you may be looking at the demon behind your grandmother or your friend or whatever. Don't put rings on the finger that is meant for marriage. You can put it on any other ring, any other finger, but not there. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'm a pastor. You are not the pastor. I'm the pastor. And I know what I'm talking about because you don't know, but I know. Many people have gotten married unknowingly. How do you know they've gotten married? Because no man marries them. Every relationship they enter to, it breaks up. And they get old, and they are at the parking lot. Nobody's picking them up. Not knowing that it is a ring. One day, let's see if one of our young girls here, she's not here today. She was in a relationship with a young man for 8 years. And they broke up. But she loved the ring. I have the ring in my office right now. I can show it to you. Collins, can you find my ring? Can you know it? Get it for me. Let me show the church. Can you find it? I'll send Gerald. You can find it. Okay. I'll show you. So, she had the ring on for a while. And then we were having, it was communion service. It was. And, you know, we drank the wine. We ate the bread. You know, we were praying. We were singing and all of that. Then lo and behold, she gets out of the congregation and she comes to me holding a ring that I should take it. You remember? I also remember. So then I ask, why? He said, the Lord says she should give it to me. I have a lot of artifacts. You know artifacts? I have a knife that one day somebody wanted to kill me with. I have it in my house. Yeah. I was praying for a witch one day. She came for deliverance. You see, real deliverance, those of you who go for deliverance every week, it's not real deliverance. Real deliverance, somebody will come and kill you. Yeah, I was praying for this young lady. When she came for the deliverance, she had a knife in her pants. So as we prayed for her, and she was moving around, and her hand was going to the back like that. So I saw it, and I said, if anything at all, why is your hand going to your back? We were trying to take her hand off, and it wasn't working. So we took it. Lo and behold, the tip of a knife. And took it out. And I asked the demon, what is this for? He said, he was coming to kill me with it. I said, this is too small a knife to kill me with. This one, if you cut me, it won't work. You should have brought a machete. Machete. So this is the ring I was talking to you about. Carla, what you have is similar to these things. So the guy gave it to her, right? So when they broke up, it's some cheap ring, man. I collect these things. You know, church members give you things. It's a proof of my ministry. I have another one there. It's a proof of what I'm doing. It's a proof of why you must listen to what I'm saying. So she has had this one. I don't know how long she has had this on. But when they broke up, she kept this on that same finger. So during the communion service, she came and she gave it to me. So I said, why? He says, the Lord said she should give it to me. You get it? And then she said, what do you think?
It's good?
Looks good.
Yes, look good.
It's gold. Starbrook Market gold? Now, you think about it. Why will somebody break up with somebody and keep a ring? And even find it difficult to take off the ring until communion service And then God, this I didn't see. It's not like I came and said, hey, Jackie, what is this? Take it off. No. This girl of herself came to me and said, God told her that she's stubborn. She should take off that ring and give it to me. That's why I have it. Now, if it wasn't, if there was nothing wrong, God won't tell her to take it off. There must be something, there must have been something wrong with holding this on to this thing. Because this thing symbolizes a covenant or an agreement or a testament between two people. And if she was going to keep on wearing this, then definitely something was going to happen to her that God will not have any control over. So for God to be able to deal with her, she had to break or get out of this agreement, of which I have a proof of. That's why she's free in the church now, want even somebody else to marry her. So that was just free advice. I won't charge you for that. But you start the relationship by courting. You court, you relate, you watch each other, right? You go out, you go to Jubilee celebration together, you know. You sit in church together. So it's official. All right, so we know that this and this person and this person, they got something going on. We don't want to guess. In the church, we don't guess. If you give us reason to guess, we'll guess wrong. We'll guess bad. So sit together. Let's know. And we'll announce it in the church that Sister A and Sister B, or Brother B, sorry. Sister A and Brother B are beloveds. They're talking. Like we say it in Guyana, they're talking. They are watching each other. And we're saying that the talking period shouldn't be too extensive. Because the moment the talking period becomes extensive, then it becomes a normal thing. Before you realize you are doing something as if you are married. Are you with me? And parents should not entertain some of these things to a certain extent. Some parents are bad parents. They allow boys to come and sleep in their home. You are not a good parent if you allow those foolish things. You should teach our children properly. Now, if you come, you can come and visit and sit in the living room so we can see you. Don't come and visit and you sit at the back. What are you doing at the back? I want to see what you are doing. So sit in the living room. You want to watch a movie? Yes, put on. Let me see the movie you are watching. Before you take my daughter and you watch some movie and then you say, let's practice what they are doing on the TV. By the time you finish the movie, you finish my daughter too. So in the beloved season, you prove. It's a time you call proving. You're testing, okay? So we go into the scriptures where the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. The Bible says, prove all things. And then hold fast that which is good. Prove things. Don't take things for granted. Why is it that you prove Guinep? But you will not prove the guy. You let him sleep with you and disturb your life. Before you say that, man, he's a useless guy. But Guinep, you proved Guinep. Taste and buy. You proved it. So before you allow somebody to go between your legs, you should prove him. You should see whether he can even buy something for you. Can he afford to buy you a present? Does he care about you? Can he top your phone up? I'm so sad to announce to you that there are some girls around who will do anything for a man, no matter what the man does to them. And that's how come men take some of the women cheap and they treat you bad because there was no proving period. Vagina is not a simple thing to give to people. Oh. I tell you, Brian, why are you laughing? Where's Charlie? Hey! It's expensive.
Yes, ma'am.
It's priceless. You see where God placed it? He didn't place it here.
You will laugh, but I'm serious. God didn't put the woman's private part on the forehead. Hair. It's a very strategic place. Yeah. You have to find it. It's a treasure hunt. Unfortunately, for some of you, it's no treasure. So you just open up. Open up the skies. Open up the legs. It's sad. Some people do not respect their private areas. Yeah. I should preach, right? Yeah. Sometimes you just have to give them Chinese rice and then the door opens. Automatic door. Yeah. It's a remote control, but the remote is Chinese rice. Once you press Chinese rice, the door open. I talk in the truth, man. No, you see, if you are a Christian, I believe I'm talking to Christians here this morning. If you are a Christian and you really love and you fear God, then you have to be very careful about what God has given you. That you do not just give it away. For example, when I was blessing the marriage yesterday, I was telling them that the congregation, I am not a contractor. If you're looking for a marriage contractor, please pass my door. Because I am not the type who you can give $10,000 and say, marry us. Because marriage and blessing a marriage is a very precious thing. You just don't haphazardly, ad hoc, and just at random, just collect $10,000 as a pastor and pray for some people and then they get galang. It's not a business. Weddings are not businesses. Many of you, you see, because you don't want to do what God wants you to do, then you take your marriage to somewhere and they bless you. And they, no. Don't do that. If you do that, it's a sign that you are prodigal. You're a prodigal. So don't, when they are proving, the proving doesn't involve that place. It's not part of the proof. The proof is more like, how you see, it's even more of a proof to know how the person is without giving them something. Because when you give something to people, you cloud their minds. Like it's like bribe. That's why bribing and corruption has killed our country with all the audits that are coming out. The moment you give somebody something, you cloud their judgment. So if you give your breasts and your private part or your penis or anything to somebody, now they can't think straight anymore. I'm preaching a very, very good message. That's how and why, before you get a driver's license, you must go through a test. And I'm saying that if I had the power to give taxi drivers I'll do a taxi driver's license and then bus drivers, I will let them do psychological tests before I give them a license. That's what I'll do. If I was the minister, I'll do that. I don't care what you say, I'll institute that. If you like, go. Because there are some bus drivers, you wonder whether their minds are working good. And some of us, we don't mind. We just sit in the bus. Kill me. You can kill me. Just take me and kill me. I'm talking about proving all things. And then holding fast that which is good. A woman must be proved. A man must be proved. You see, in the time of proving, there are a lot of things happen. The only thing that doesn't happen is becoming intimate. But for example, cooking for you is something that must happen. If I'm dating somebody, you should be able to cook for me. I'll give you money and you cook for me. Not cooking without money, because that's also a test. I should be able to give you money for you to cook for me. Because when we marry, I'll have to continue to give you money for you to cook. Whether you work or not. It's the proof. The proof does not involve your body. Kissing has no taste. Kissing can determine whether the woman is good or not. It's saliva and mouth and smelling. All kinds of, it's everywhere. Kissing, even sex, no matter how nice or sweet the sex is, it does not determine the nature of the person. All private areas are the same. It's the same. It's a hole, watery, when it gets watery, and then that's how some people pump anyway, because they can create that environment and then feel free. No, I'm serious. That's how some people don't need a woman really to whatever. They create the whatever environment, and then they're okay. So that does not determine the person's ability to live with you for the next 60 years. It does not determine the person's ability to run the house that you are going to put her in charge of. It doesn't tell you the person's ability as a man to run your life and to lead you to better places. The sex does not determine that. It's not part of the proving. Because the life you're going to live when you get married is far deeper than just sex. In fact, life can beat you so much that even sex, you don't even remember that there's sex to have. But whatever the case is, there must be a proving period. Say with me, there must be a proving period. Now, we've spoken about a few things that you must look at in the proving period. We look at the fact that you should not marry somebody because your parents are pressuring you to do that. Do you remember? Yes. Yeah, you shouldn't marry because, oh, your parents like the person and this and that, that. If your parents like the person, do you like the person? Do you like them? The fact that your parents like the person doesn't mean that your parents are the one who's going to marry the person. Oh, me auntie, it's me auntie, it's my, is your auntie going to marry the person? You're the one who's going to marry the person. My friend says he's a nice guy. Is your friend who's going to marry the person? Titi, where's your guy? Is he here? He didn't come today. My little black friend, he's not here today. We are saying that racial differences can make a difference in your marriage too. Don't take it for granted. We are not racial. We are not saying that don't marry Indian or don't marry Amerindian, but do not forget that every race have their practices and how they do things. They will bring it inside the marriage. So if you can't take it, then don't go for somebody like that. If you are a black person, you're going to marry an Amerindian, you should be ready to entertain how an Amerindian lives their life. You can say, hey, we don't do that in me house. You house is we house now. And just as you have your things, she also has her things. If you can't handle it, don't go for it. That's how you taste. You prove before you purchase. You're a black man, you don't like a black woman, don't go and say, oh, them black women are there. Don't come and tell us things we don't want to hear. You can't take a black woman, don't go for a black woman. Go for something you can handle. That's why you prove. For some people, when they are getting married, they see all the signs, but they ignore them, thinking that it's going to change. Don't deceive yourself. Some of the guys are mommy's boys. You get it? And they do so many things with mommy. If mommy doesn't say, they won't do it. Don't go into the marriage thinking that you will come and change mommy's position. No, you can't replace mommy. So if you meet a mommy's boy, you will have to either decide to entertain mommy in your marriage or go for somebody who's not mommy's boy. Because before he even sleeps with you, you go and ask mommy, can I have sex with her? Oh, cry. Can I give her money? Mommy said, no, them girls, don't give she money. Not enough. Don't give she enough. Give she little. Look, give she little. Yes, mommy. And she goes, so girl, me got enough money. This is all I got. It's mommy who's pushing him to do what the things he's doing. Yeah. The mommy calling the place a morning, afternoon, evening. Mommy calling for she son. Every time mommy calling for he. Yeah. Everywhere mommy going, son got take mommy. Who is he married to? One day my father asked me a question. He said, son, I had gotten married immediately after that. He said, son, I said, yes, daddy. He said, imagine you are on an island. And then there's a disaster on the island. And then there's a boat for you to escape from the island. And the boat can only take two people. But you're on the island with your mother and your wife. Who will you take? I skinned my teeth. I said, me answering nothing today. Yeah? I was in a car with him. I was driving him. It was just a few days after my wedding. He was trying to put something in my head. I realized that if I answer and I answer true, he can abuse me. And I'll sound disrespectful. If I say my mother, I'm actually going against what I vowed to do a few days ago in front of God. So I say, you know what? Me saying nothing. I'm going to just skin my teeth. And then he realized that I wasn't answering. So he answered the question. He said, you will take your mother, right? And I continued to smile. You know what he said? He said, as for mother, there's only one. As for wife, you can get enough women. It's not in the Bible, but some people believe these things, you know. And in a way, it's true. Because there can only be one woman who can be your mother. Ask for wife. If your wife dies, you marry another one. If she leaves you, they marry another one. So ask for wife there. It's like toilet tissue. You can use it. And but no, we can't say those things. That's what I tell you. Yeah. So I was not prepared for my father to put something in my head. Oh, my mother would have cried. Because you see me jump in the speedboat. I said, mommy, I'm going to see you later with me wife. She'll cry bad. I said, where is your husband? Call your husband to come and take you also away. That's what I'm going to tell mommy. Yeah. But of course, I can't tell my father that. Because he'll say, bye, you stupid. You know them old black people? They don't believe in women at all. I was not prepared to argue with an old, experienced man. I said, my Bible, if I know my Bible, let me keep it to myself. Let you keep it tradition and a thing to yourself. All right? But something briefly I want to add to prove all things and hold fast is medical tests. Medical tests. You see, when we are in a relationship, when we are going to marry, we hardly think about medical tests. I like he like me. We got he nice. I love she love me. Bad. We get married in. But there is something called medical conditions. The first thing you must understand is HIV. AIDS. Because when you see a woman, you see a man who is HIV positive, it is not written on the person's face, hello, I'm cute, but I'm HIV positive. I still love you and I still want to marry you. There's nothing like that. And if you don't take care, he's not going to tell you because he knows if he tells you, you'll beat out. So you now have to say, you know what? Hi, sweetie. I love you bad. I want to know your HIV status every 3 months. And I could go with you romantically. I could go with you to the testing place. We could go nice. We can go holding hands. Oh, we are beloved. Oh, I won't see the test. Because, God forbid, come over. Look at this pretty young lady here who is not married. God forbid, if she's HIV positive, can you see it on her face? You see, you've already fallen in love, not knowing that you are in danger. Even a similar way, if she's a witch, would you know she's a witch? How many of us men can tell me this woman is a witch? Where are the guys who are so cool and collected? Where are they? My friend, no, you're not cool and collected. Where are the cool and collected men? They're all running away. How would you know whether this lady is a witch? That's what the Bible says, prove all things. Some men are wizards. Obia men, you are marrying an Obia man you don't know. But you see, you have not proved him, that's why. It did not happen in church. It did not happen. The pastor is not involved. God is not involved. So you are marrying an Obia man you don't even know. And an Obia man is not somebody who has them things powder in his face. So now these Obia men, now they are nice, good-looking Obia men, you know. HIV is something you should do. If you're going to marry anybody, make sure you know the person's HIV status. Don't let your heart fool you. Keep your head on. Keep your brains on. Some women are beautiful, but they don't have brains. The only thing they lack is brains. Don't get deep with somebody without HIV test. Number two, sickle cell. You think that, oh, it's church, I meet a nice brother, he pray bad, he's speaking tongues, sholoboko. So I ain't think that she got HIV. You think? Don't play games. Prove all things. Even in this church, you have to come, sit down, listen to the message, look around, prove us. But if you prove us, you must stay. Don't prove us and stay away. If once you prove us, you must stay. But if you prove us and you say, man, I mean like the church, man, the pastor is preaching long. Okay, then you find another place and you go. But if you prove it and you like it, like we have proven it that we like it, then we stay. So there's something called sickle cell anemia. Sickle cell anemia. I'm sure some of you young ladies, you don't know. Sickle cell anemia. It's a condition where the blood, your blood cells, see, blood, everything in the body is made up of cells. The body's cell, a lot of cells come together, right? In a common way. Now, the blood, you have red blood cells. They are normally round in shape. The blood cells carry oxygen. So when they are round, they have the oxygen inside. Now, there's a condition of the blood that makes the round become like a half. Let me just, or sickle. Like the, you know, it's a quarter moon. It's a quarter of a moon. Like what? Like a C. Instead of round, it's like a C. Which means that the oxygen that the body needs, the blood cell cannot carry enough of it. Which means that if you do any strenuous work, you get tired faster. Because there's not so much oxygen for your body cells and all of that. So you need something. People with sickle cell anemia get sick fast, quick, frequently. In fact, if you are fully blown sickle cell, that's SS, sometimes you don't live beyond 25 years old. I was in school with a guy who was very, very brilliant, but had sickle cell. He was full blown sickle cell, SS. He died. After 6 months, he died. You need to know the sickle cell status of the person you are in love with. So before you actually fall in love, you should make sure that everything is correct, including these things we are telling you. Because why are we saying that? Number one, what's going to happen is that if the person is SS, it means you will have to open up to a lot of hospital visits. Because you get sick a lot. You have to go to Georgetown Hospital a lot. If Georgetown Hospital kills people, then you are actually have entered into something. You are going to lose your husband before you catch yourself. I don't think that anybody wants to marry somebody who is going to die in the next 5 years. I don't think that's what we want to do. Even though we say for richer, for poorer,
in death, and till death do us part. Every 5 years, you marry a sickle cell person, and you don't want to do that. So you need to establish the sickle cell status of the person that you are dating before you fall in the love. If the person is AS, which is not full-blown sickle cell anemic condition, there's still a risk. Because if the person is AS, that means that the person is 50-50. Then you must also determine yours. If you are also AS, which is 50-50, which normally wouldn't show so much, then the problem passes down to your children. Because when you marry, when an AS marries an AS, it is like a cross. You do AA, AS, AA, AS, and then SS. When you cross the AA, AS, and the AS, if you cross, if you match every letter to every letter, you will have SS as 25%. AS, AS will have what? SS, 25% chance. It means that if you're going to have 4 children, there's a probability that one of them strongly is going to be a sickler. Which also means that your hospital bills, you must stash money for hospital bills. Because you are going to give birth to a child who needs medical attention all the time. That pressure can cause divorce. That hospital pressure can cause divorce because it will weigh on your funds, it will weigh on your finances, it will test people's ability. You can see it. Pastor Isan is here. Pastor Isan is here. Yeah, he's sleeping. Are you sleeping? Pastor Isan's father is not well. The mother can't see properly. So as the father is sick and the mother can't see well and all of that, they are in the house together. Somebody has to be with them all the time. Now, Pastor Isan and his sisters are running shift work. They have other siblings who don't have time at all. Isn't it fantastic? That your parents are not well and you don't got time for them. Now, if you look at somebody like that, I will never, no matter how die in need, I need a wife, I will not marry a woman like that. Because if you cannot take care of your father and your mother when they need you, why should I come and marry you? You do the same thing to me when I'm sick. When I can't do anything, you go and feel free. You want to be free. You like easy things. This life is not easy. So when you marry somebody with that sickle cell status, and you give birth, if it doesn't affect you or him, it will affect your children. And so you have to decide. You see, the choice is yours. You can say, you know, Reverend, God, I've read in the Bible, I've been taught about this. I love she. I love he. I don't care. I don't mind. It's okay. I'm going to go to the hospital because for richer or for poorer, in whatever you, then that is your business. Do not make that drive you to make a wrong decision because you knew it and you went into it. That's what we are saying. You prove it. And now you have to decide whether what you have proof of, whether you still want it. If you decide to go for it, then so be it. We'll bless it for you anyway. But it is you, the vicar. It's you and him. So when you come and say, Reverend, please, you got to pray for us. I will not pray. I said, moreover, when you came for marriage counseling, you brought a test. We saw it. We told you. What kind of prayer? It's a medical condition that prayer cannot affect. It is in the blood. Of course, all things are possible. But all things are not possible to many of us. Because we don't believe. We don't strive to get the results God wants us to get. Are you with me? Finally, in some cases, it's not official, but you know, I'm saying that in some cases, you even want to do a sperm count. You want to do fertility test. It's by choice. Why? We had a situation in one of our churches in America. They went through marriage counseling, all right. Everything was okay, you know. Everything seemed okay. When they got married, not knowing the guy
that he cannot get an erection. Yeah. I don't know what you're going to do if it was you. The guy has come for counseling, everything. Oh, yes, pastor, praise the Lord. Marriage. Wedding night. Hey. Very, very sad. You see, so I was discussing this case with the pastor in charge there. And he was saying, Pastor Collins, you know, sometimes we should even try and see and check if the people, they get erection in the morning. See, because if you don't take care, you bless something that you're not supposed to bless. Now the lady is going crazy. Because she married in the church. Now it's what? It's the pastor's fault. It's the church fault. It's this. It's that. But whether somebody can get an erection or not, all that we can do is probably ask. The guy has to be honest. But if I say ask, that's why some people, they test the sex before they marry. So we're saying that, you know what, maybe we should try and see how we can get them to get an erection for us to see. No, we have entered into a season where people are not truthful, you know. You got to be very, very careful. Let us not come to church. So we is brother, we is sister and thing, and we is go to church and we. No. Don't do that. Don't do that. I know of a church that started a school. They don't have the school anymore. Why? Because there's a difference between running a school and running a church. The fact that you are a pastor and you are known and you have members and probably you have money, it doesn't guarantee success in running a school. You need somebody who goes to CPCE, who has experience. You need teachers. You need to have money. You need to have accreditation. So many things go into school that has nothing to do with the Bible. The school is no more. You can see the building. It's building for rent. I can tell you, you can pass there and see right now. A time came, I knew somebody who used to teach in the school. They were not paying the guy. No salary. I don't know how a pastor is going to run a school when he doesn't have the qualification and the knowledge. It's the same thing we do. You can't marry somebody just because the person comes to church. No, you need to prove it. You need to prove things. Sometimes fertility can be a problem. Because I am not sure whether if you marry this guy and you can't have children, whether it will be okay for you. So because I am the pastor and I am involved in a marriage counseling, I don't want you to get into a situation where now, pastor, many, no, the woman is barren or the man can't, no. And then from then, when you come to church, your face turn up. Every time you come to church, your face turn up. Because you have now discovered after you married that the person's sperm count is low. So I would say maybe if you can handle it, it's okay with me. But if you like, I would say apart from sickle cell and HIV and maybe your blood group, you should know your blood group also, then maybe you should add fertility test. So when you're enjoying, you know that you are hitting the bullseye. Not that you've been wasting all your money, you're wasting all your energy on something you cannot get. Then now, we the pastors become the ones who have to pray and believe God for a miracle for you. If you don't take care, then you are going to every deliverance service for deliverance from demons. It's not demon, it's sperm count. And I'm sure many Christians go for deliverance about something that has nothing to do with it. The Bible says, prove all things. Then after you've proven it, you hold fast to that which is good. If you prove all things and you hold fast to that which is not so good, that's up to you. We will pray over it. We will bring you to church. We will pray. Lord, bless this marriage. We will pray. we'll cut the cake, we'll stick the cake, we'll do all the things. When the problem comes, you understand what I mean? Then it's not something new. We knew about it. Well, I said, Sister Anita, don't worry. Let's trust God. In a sweet by and by, God might do something. Let's believe God, you know? Don't worry. Things can get better. But we knew this before. So we are saying, if you prove and you find out, then you can make a decision. The decision is yours. We as pastors, any decision you make, even if you bring a monkey to marry, we don't have a problem. As long as the marriage office can give you licenses to marry monkey, we can bless the marriage. And then you live forever, happy forever after with your monkey partner. Stand to your feet, my time is up. Hallelujah. Oh, you are not clapping. Hey, you can't get up. You get old. You've sat down for a long time. You should be able to stand and stretch yourself, isn't it? Have you learned something today?
Yeah.
Kelly, have you learned something today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't only take their good looks, you know. You see, when I think about that lady who the guy, child father, killed in Cummins Lodge and dumped her body, when I think about the case, I don't think like a pastor. I want to think like a judge. Me and care about no police evidence. Put a rope around his neck and hang him. But one thing you should know is that there were signs. There were signs. The guy didn't just get mad one time. There were signs. And once you see signs, even $1, don't take it. Take your $1. God will take care of me. Because it's following the dollars and ignoring the signs is what takes people into all kinds of things. If I think like a judge, I would say firing squad. She cut off his ears, cut off his nose, let him die slowly. Because it's so cruel to kill another human being like that. But I don't blame the man alone. I'm sure the woman knew certain things that she didn't take care of. Many of you women, you know things. You sit on them. Proof, as long as it's not marriage, please, you have the chance to either hold on to it or leave it. The choice is yours. God loves you more and wants you to do well. Thank you, Jesus. You are my strength. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'll be a fool. You are my all. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Your name, Jesus. Father, this morning we say thank you for teaching us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for helping us to gain some knowledge. We are going to live our lives by the same information you have given to us, so that our marriages, our choices, will be choices that will be exempt of certain troubles we can avoid. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for knowledge. And thank you for understanding. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are here this morning. You are not saved. Before we go, the most important thing for you is to really understand where you will go when you die right now. Pastor, I am not sure whether I will go to heaven or hell when I die. You need to be sure before you leave here today. I am not saved. I'm not born again.
If I die right now, I am not certain where I would go. There's heaven and there's hell. Don't go to hell. For whatever you do, don't go to hell. Heaven is here today. You have the choice to make today, to choose heaven. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to become a child of God. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. And I want every eye to be closed. Don't feel shy. Don't be afraid. It's a very important moment. Pastor, please, I want to be born again. I want Jesus to come into my heart. If you are here like that, while every eye is closed, every head is bowed, you want to just slip up your right finger up high so I can see and I can pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. Keep your right hand up high. I want to pray with you. God bless you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. You are here like that. Just your right hand. Just your right hand. Don't miss this opportunity. You may not live so long. You may never know. Nobody knows how long we will live. Don't miss this opportunity and die and go to hell. Pastor, please pray for me. Pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just your right hand up high. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, we don't have so much time. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to take a step forward. Come to me. I want to pray with you. Come for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Put a comb in your pocket somewhere. Put it in your pocket. Yeah. You have pocket? Who do you come with some? Oh, yeah, right. So, please. Clap for them as they come. There's a young lady coming. Clap for her until she gets here. All right. Let's pray. Let's pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father. Say after me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.